Welcome to Recess Duty, a podcast for educators to come together to share struggles, but also celebrate successes by sharing stories and ideas in a safe and supportive environment to collaborate with one another. Here's your host, Levi Allison.
Hey everyone, this is Recess Duty with your host, Levi Allison. And today we're talking with Craig Kemp, who comes with experience in educational technology and consulting worldwide. We'll discuss their journey and experiences in education. Thank you so much for joining us, Craig. How are you doing?
Doing so well, Levi. Thank you so much for having me here.
Absolutely. It's been a great pleasure to connect with you all these years and so forth. So, Craig, for those of you who don't know you, and I can't imagine there's very many, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how did you get to where you were?
Yeah, absolutely. So I really appreciate connecting here, Levi. I really do. You know, we've been connected for a long time now online, and it's great to be able to see each other face to face and have a conversation.
Absolutely.
You know, in a real genuine sort of manner. I love it. I love the work you do, and it's an absolute honor to be asked to be on here. So
thank you
so much. You know, the exciting thing for me is, you know, my journey is an interesting one. You know, I'm a kid from a small town, New Zealand. And I grew up a pretty interesting, normal, safe sort of life, right? I grew up in a pretty middle-class family. I lived in a pretty poor neighborhood, I guess. But, you know, my friends were from such a diverse background. You know, I think at my friends now and my friends back then, and, you know, I automatically go towards people from different backgrounds, different cultures, different varying levels of, you know, wealth and profession and you name it. That's sort of where I'm interested in conversing with, engaging with. So I look back at my childhood, I guess, and think about, you know, what I did back then and who I was interacting and engaging with, and me now with my own kids, you know, in a pretty diverse culture here in Singapore. And, you know, my journey was, grew up, didn't really know what I want to do. I loved sports. I loved connecting. I loved collaborating. I loved playing with friends and engaging with people. And, you know, that sort of led me to a point when I was at the end of my high school, just going, what's for Craig? You know, what do I want to do? And really interestingly, my mom, she was an amazing stay-at-home mom her whole life. My dad was an IT manager at a local hospital and sort of combined both of them. And my mom in my late high school years decided, hey, I'm going to retrain. I'm going to become a teacher. Pretty bloody
wow.
Cool. You know, pretty awesome. Pretty cool story. And she went and did it. And I saw her in the heart of it, learning, engaging, being a student teacher, doing all of those things. And then, you know, I thought maybe that's for me. I love teaching kids sport. I love playing sport. I love, you know, coaching. I love working with kids. You know, there's so much power in it. Maybe I'll give it a go. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. So I went for it and I did it, did my teacher training, and immediately I was hooked. You know, I loved helping people. I loved engaging. I loved, you know, pushing boundaries and trying new things. And then it sort of stemmed from there into working at a small school in Dunedin in New Zealand at the bottom of the South Island. You know, one of the youngest people in my school by about 15 years, the only male teacher in my school, and really working towards what I thought I wanted to do, which was be a principal in a school, you know, and that sort of was the career progression. And that was all I knew. You know, that was the only way, really, if you wanted to move up and be successful. And I'd do that in little bunny ears because that was the way that success was measured back then. You know, that's the way I wanted to go. And that, you know, really changed. I taught for 7 or 8 years and then moved overseas. My wife and I got married and we thought, you know, let's try something new. Let's jump over and see what happens. So we applied for jobs all over the world, agreed that the first job we get would go there. It was Singapore. We made the move and, you know, the rest is history. We've been here 10 years now. I've been working in international schools and, you know, about 2.5 years ago now, I left that, started my own company and work in the world of consulting, which is, you know, a pretty dirty word for me because it was something that I thought I'd never do. I never thought I'd be a consultant. I didn't want to be one of them was how I sort of described it. I didn't want to be someone removed from the classroom. And, you know, I didn't want to do that. And it's been the opposite experience for me. I feel more connected now than I ever did in the silo of a school. You know, I'm connected to more people around the world and I have more insight into schools of varying levels and abilities all over the world than I ever did when I was in the silo of my school. So, you know, it's been quite the journey. in a startup phase myself now with EduSpark and growing and developing that concept and idea. So it's been a really cool journey. I don't sit still for very long and I love pushing boundaries and trying new things.
Craig, that is something I really connect with is don't sit still very long. Yeah. My own father always tells me, Levi, you don't know how to relax. You don't know how to just sit and just with your thoughts. You're always moving on to the next thing. And I know I completely understand that. And we will talk about EduSpark because I am extremely excited about it in a minute. But I do want to talk to you about like the challenges that it does come with consulting, because you've consulted with diverse groups of people from all ranges of journeys, from very young schools to very established schools. What are some of those things that have been really challenging for you? And how do you overcome those challenges to meet all learners, whether it's adult or student, where they are?
Awesome question. You know, as I was making the decision probably 2 years before leaving my school, and you know, my last role, I was the director of technology and innovation at a large 3,500 student American international school here in Singapore. And, you know, it was really for me, you know, it's great. I can make change, but really I'm only making change to a small group of people, you know, in the big scheme of things. I can make change, but only a little bit, right? I felt siloed. I loved the school. I loved the community, but I wanted to do more. So that whole idea of consulting really took me 2 years to get my head around and create that journey of where I wanted to go. So my first, you know, 6 months in that consulting role was probably the busiest 6 months of my life. You know, I was in 12 different countries working with 30 plus schools, you know, and then that morphed into COVID and, you know, everything went virtual. So there was no travel anymore. And, you know, I learned so much about that journey. I learned a few things, probably three things. One, I learned that that title of a consultant doesn't have to be what everyone thinks it is, you know, being disconnected from a school. And as a consultant, you have the job to do whatever you want to do. You know, I'm my own boss. I can do whatever I want to do and I can work with whoever that wants to work with me. And I think I chose to make that a truly connected role where I was more connected than ever before to the life and the heart of the school. The second thing is, you know, I really understood my why. You know, Simon Sinek says people don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it. And that's been a real driving force behind the work that I do, really diving deep into why is this going to make a difference? And if it is, then why is it going to make a difference and how? And really starting from that point in every part of my career and personal life too, making sure that I can justify everything that I set my mind to. And that's where I sort of took my role as a consultant to support schools and helping them understand their why, particularly around strategy when it comes to ed tech. But not only strategy, and that sort of leads into the third piece, a real passion area was culture. You know, I learned that strategy is awesome and schools can bring people in and help build strategy and create strategy. But if you don't have the culture to drive that strategy to be sustainable, then it's never going to work.
Absolutely.
Culture eats strategy for breakfast every day of the week. You know, it really does. You know, it really does. It's if you don't have a culture where people want to learn and want to grow and want to develop, then you've got nothing. You know, there's nothing to sit on and to stand on. So that's, you know, really a lot of the work I did now. And then the challenges of that were, you know, you're only as good as your last job. And my business is built on word of mouth and it's built on success stories and helping people grow and develop. And that's how I get the next bit of work. And, you know, that's morphed into bigger and better things now. But, you know, it was never I talk about strategy and stuff, but I really didn't have a business plan. I didn't have a strategy. You know, I flew by the seat of my pants most of this time and really went where I think I had the best opportunity to help and make change and help people grow. And, you know, that meant standing in front of a stage of people in front of us on a stage sometimes. And, you know, most people think I'm an extrovert, but I'm the opposite of that. I'm an introvert. So one of my biggest challenges was, you know, pushing myself and my own boundaries. You know, every time I step in front of people or on a stage, whether it's 10 people, one person, or, you know, I've been in front of 2,000 people before, and it's, you know, it's petrifying. Like even jumping on this with you, Levi, and I know you well, and you know, I get nervous and I get butterflies in my stomach, and you know, it's just the way I am, and that's never going to change. And that's been a huge challenge for me, and something that I still battle with today.
Oh, 100%. As a musician and being the expectation of performing, I have struggled with stage fright my entire life, and everyone always asks, why you're so charismatic, you talk so well with people that you barely know. And I'm like, I understand that, but it is being very vulnerable, I have to work very hard at that because there's butterflies, like you said, in your stomach where you're like, oh my goodness, am I going to do the right thing or say the right thing? So Craig, I kind of have a feeling what you're excited about because I'm a little bit of a part of it, but what are you excited about at the moment? And you spoke a little bit of it earlier in the podcast.
Yeah, I'm, thanks, first of all, man, for bringing that up. I'm super excited. And I don't get this excited that easily. You know, about a year ago now, I thought, man, there's got to be a better way for delivering high quality professional learning that's equitable, that's diverse in nature, you know, that really helps people transform and change. And, yep. You know, that's where EduSpark was born out of. The idea that we can create something here that's not just a platform, not just a solution, but a movement. And yep. Right now, go to eduspark.world and you'll see what I'm excited about. You know, we built this with a team of amazing developers and it's our minimum viable product. You know, it's our MVP. It's a very basic version of where we're going. And, you know, I say basic, but it's pretty cool. It's very exciting. The technology stack's getting better and better. Yep. And, you know, the big picture here is that I want to build something that can change the way we learn, grow and develop as educators. So, you know, in a nutshell, EduSpark is a platform for early years to grade 12 teachers and leaders, you know, teaching assistants, anyone in a school that works with learners. And it's a place for you to come to learn, develop and grow. And one of the things I learned when, you know, I'm in that space as a consultant and working with schools as a leader of learning and as a person who loves to participate in learning is that, you know, professional learning in many ways is broken, but it's not unfixable. You know, not as if we can't fix it. It just means we have to invest time in fixing it. And that's what I'm excited about, that phase of actually trying to change something that doesn't work. How do we bring, and this is the whole vision of what we're trying to build, how do we bring amazing people together? How do we bring people into a space that doesn't currently exist to do more than just deliver professional learning? It's not another course platform. You know, yes. What we want to do is change the way we do things. Yes, you're going to learn with amazing people from all over the world. Yes, you're going to engage with communities of practice. Yes, you're going to be able to learn with people that you'd never be able to afford to learn with, let alone have space or time to be able to connect and engage with them. Incredible people. But you're also going to learn with teachers next door to you, teachers in countries that are around you, right? People who have voices that have never had the opportunity to have them amplified. And that's what I'm excited about most, bringing voices to people all over the world that should be shared. You know, you're a perfect case study here, Levi, you know, someone that's doing incredible things, but in the bigger global scheme of things, I think you're undiscovered because you haven't had the opportunity to push things out there and share things yet. And I can't wait to do that.
Well, thank you. That's very nice of you. And I really appreciate that. And we've talked a couple of times between you and your other colleague, Andrew, about EduSpark. And one of the things that really just hit me was when you said the whole course does not have to be planned from the very beginning. The course can be planned with the people who are in it and you can go with them. And when you talk about student agency, well, the IB doesn't really state on their graphs anything about students. It's just learners and we're all learners. And talk about empowering all learners agency of building courses from the get-go to incorporate, what do you want to know? What do you want to learn? What do you want to engage with? I am extremely excited to be a part of this. I'm extremely excited to get to work on some of these courses to help us all explore these questions of assessment, transdisciplinary learning, engaging, provocations, and those forth. And it's just a really exciting time because I do agree that this isn't just another platform for courses that you go from step one, step two, step three. This is a more of a live, I want to quote, say, yeah, live interaction of manipulative type of engagement that you're going to get to really explore, change and experience with other people that otherwise you won't get to.
Yeah, I think you've nailed it, Levi. You really have. And that's sort of the big thing for us is that we wanted to be able to not just moderate and curate amazing learning from around the world, but we wanted to provide different ways of engaging in that learning that suit the learner. So, you know, often we say, this is what it is and this is how you do it. Do the learning, watch a whole bunch of videos, do a test, get a certificate. that doesn't work for most people. You know, want people to engage, and we want people to actually implement learning, you know, adjust your practice, develop, you know, evidence-based practice that you've actually transformed your own learning. And we've got, I'm not going to talk about them now, but they are coming. We've got some pretty cool features coming that are going to, you know, transform our learning forever, actually, in some of the technology stacks that we're building around this, which is going to be exciting. It's going to be different. It's going to be unique. It's going to push boundaries. But most of all, it's going to support teachers. It's going to help people get access to high quality learning at a fraction of the cost, be able to engage with other people from all over the world, and then most importantly, be able to put that into practice and transform your learning. You know, very few times can we deliver on that promise of transformation. Absolutely. And that's where we're going. You know, we know it's not going to happen overnight, but we're making that movement. And over the next months and years, you're going to see that happen.
Absolutely. And another thing is, it's like living what you preach. We expect students to go and reflect and change and come back with something. And so very often, our professional development that we do see is not catered to reflecting, come back with something. And more regular, because of virtual learning and distance learning, I'm seeing that pop up of, we'll do a workshop or I'll be in a course and someone will say, go try this in your class tomorrow, come back the next week with an example and let's reflect on what that looks like. And I'm super excited to see that, because I see EduSpark just really changing the way we learn as a global community of learners.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you, man. It's really cool. And if people want to know more, you know, reach out to me. I'm happy to have a chat. Go to eduspark.world and see that.
And that link will be in the show notes below. Craig, well, how's it going in Singapore? How is COVID happening? Are you able to visit schools right now?
Yeah, good question. No, the answer is no. I can virtually, but you know, we've actually just been thrown back into home-based learning here after doing pretty well. Now, we're very lucky here. We are very lucky. We've been in a situation where kids have been in school face-to-face for the majority of the last 18 months with very little home-based learning. So, you know, it's really hard to look at what countries around the world are doing. You know, I look at friends and colleagues in Victoria and Australia and just think, wow, you guys are it's tough, you know, and it's hard to have those conversations with people. You know, the best thing that I feel I can do right now is worry about other people more than I worry about myself. Yeah. I just want to ask questions, you know, and I think a simple question, you know, are you okay? How can I help? What can I do? You know, and, you know, I don't have time, but I do have time at the same time. You know, the most important thing for me is making sure that people are doing okay. The last thing we need is more teachers getting pushed out of the teaching profession, and that's happening in truckloads. And, you know, I want to help, you know, just like everyone, I want to help and I want to do something. And, you know, if you're listening and that's you, or you know people, I want to help, reach out, let's have a conversation, let's talk about you and your role and what you're doing. And, you know, I'm not in the position to be able to help from a psychology perspective or anything, but sometimes all you need is just someone to lean on, have a conversation about cool stuff and ideas. And, you know, I want to make myself available for people to do that.
Well, again, Craig, that is really amazing and very kind and genuine of you. And I will also state that because of our Twitter professional learning network and because of COVID and not being able to go home for very often, most of our friends have really supported each other and leaned on each other to share lessons, share ideas, be able to have that opening ear. And it's just another amazing reason to have these professional learning networks outside of your immediate vicinity, because it does give you that reassurance that you're not alone, that these are issues that everybody is coming against. And you know what? I always say, you know, two brains are better than one, but 100 brains is better than two.
Yeah. And you've nailed it.
Yeah.
I agree. You know, Twitter is my jam, just like it's yours. I love it. It's not for everyone. You know, I use other online networks as well, but building professional learning networks and professional learning communities, like you said, is critical to not only supporting our growth and development, but also looking after ourselves. Because I think as teachers, we very rarely put ourselves first. And I think now is the perfect time to be a little bit selfish, you know, and look after yourself. And then ask that question to people around you. Are you okay? Can I help? What can we do together? You know, let's help each other out. This is the most important time, I think, in this transformative era that we find ourselves in. And if we want to move and grow and develop moving forward, now is the time to be doing it. Let's push boundaries, try new things, test things out. You know, that's what we should be doing.
Absolutely. And a quote comes to mind that I cannot remember who said it, but it was like, we cannot change the world with the same thinking that we used to break it.
Yeah.
And it was just like, we've got to change how we share and we think. So for those people who are struggling, Craig, what is some advice or what is some like experience that they can try in the school, in the classroom that you've seen? You've worked with hundreds and hundreds of people. What is a piece of advice you want to give them?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, for me, it's value human resources over any other resources, you know, value people, value conversations and value connection. You know, you never know where that conversation's going to go. You know, you never know a call that you have or a conversation that you have where that's going to lead. And I think it's all about right now opening yourself up, having conversations, being open and honest, and taking each day as it comes. You know, we know that COVID isn't going anywhere very soon. You know, it's not going to be a new world tomorrow, maybe even a month, 2 months, 6 months down the track. But we have to remain optimistic. We have to help each other out. We have to be there to help each other succeed. And, you know, that all happens because of that human relationship. You know, have a conversation, connect with new people, try something new. So it's just that, I think, small steps, break things down, know your why, talk to people, don't be afraid to reach out. And even more importantly, don't be afraid to share, you know, create new things, put things out there. Just literally before we jumped on the call, you know, a good friend of mine, Lockie McClellan, a PE teacher here in Singapore, he's All Things PE on Twitter. He just put a post up and it said, "Hey team, what can I do to help? Anyone need any resources made up? I'm pretty good at whipping things up on Canva. You tell me what you want and need and I'll do it for you. Yeah, I'm busy, but being together in this is more than anything else." So like that sort of thing makes me go, there is some good in this world. You know,
absolutely,
people want to help. So let's let other people help and then give something back as well.
Absolutely. And I always say, the moment COVID started, all the teachers in the world became YouTube stars and graphic designers.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
So Craig, wrapping up, where can people find you? Where do you want them to find you?
Yeah, good question. So, you can find me at Mr. Kemp NZ on Twitter. You can find me Mr. Kemp NZ on most social platforms, Craig Kemp Singapore, LinkedIn. You can go to eduspark.world and connect there across, again, all social channels. And eduspark.world as a website as well. So, you know, reach out. You probably won't have too much trouble finding me. We'll make sure that some of the links are in the podcast notes below as well. But
absolutely,
you know, reach out, ask questions. No question is a silly question. You know, whatever it's related to, teaching internationally, you know, connecting and engaging, ed tech, professional learning, well-being. I'd love to have a conversation.
Thank you so much, Craig. And last question, Craig, what do you remember from recess growing up?
Yeah. Awesome question. And something that, you know, makes me smile. You know, my big memory, I think, from school is probably primary or elementary school. And, you know, we lived across the road from my school. So I'm a cricket fan, right? I love cricket. So for a lot of my North American friends, it makes no sense. You know, it's like glorified baseball is my best way of sort of describing it. Like baseball that takes way too long to play. But, you know, I love cricket. And, you know, my brother and I, who's a little bit older than me, we would get a roller, like a big, heavy roller, and we'd roll it across the main road of my small town. And we'd bring it over to my house and we'd roll our grass to make it a cricket pitch. And, you know, then we'd roll it back again. And, you know, one of the memories is playing sports, but more than that, it was that element of connecting. So, you know, my brother and I, in two levels, we made a connection over playing sport, but we also, you know, me personally, I made connections with people by being in the moment. You know, now I think we see technology and mobile phones and that ability to connect and engage as a little bit of a negative. You know, if I wanted to connect with my friends back in the day, my mom and dad would tell me, you know, jump on your bike and go to their house.
Agreed.
You know, I had no
same
other way of connecting with them. I would go on a bike, I'd bike down the road. And if they weren't home, I'd bike back again. You know, there'd be the way of connecting was, if I wanted to play a game, I'd go across to the school. I'd see who was there and I'd take my cricket bat and my ball or a basketball and I'd go play, you know, and I'd meet new people and I'd give it a go. And that's sort of my big memory. And then those things sort of morphed into recess times and lunch times, you know, playing, that art of playing, you know, that, and that's what I see in my kids. I've got a 3-year-old and a 7-year-old now. And, you know, I love creativity and seeing creation through the eyes of a 3-year-old or a 7-year-old. Just the whole concept of play-based learning and inquiring into the world. I just love it. I wish as adults we embraced that more and allowed more opportunities for that as we go through school. You know, I love the concept of testing things out, trialing things, figuring things out for yourself. And that's what I did as a kid. You know, it's what all of us did as kids. We didn't have people holding our hands most of the time. We just went and did it. And that's for me, probably my biggest takeaway from recess duty.
That's an amazing story. Thank you so much, Craig, for joining this week's episode of Recess Duty. I hope to see you soon. Everybody have a great day out there and have fun. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Thank you, Levi.
Thank you for listening to Recess Duty. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. In the meantime, please share this podcast with other educators so they can join the fun. And that is the end of our Recess Duty.